Glad to see y'all here tonight. Hope you've had a good first portion of your week. If I'm not mistaken, there's still time to register to get ready to vote, so if you have not, I'm sure take care of that. How much more time, Brother Carl? A week or so?
I think it's about a week.
So you get make sure you take care of that. You make sure you make preparations to vote in whichever manner they will allow you to vote. Remember, vote only once. Though you may want to vote four or five times, it's the law. So vote only once. And then pray. Pray, pray, pray. Seek the face of God and ask Him what to do, who to vote for. There were some glasses found outside. I don't know if Brother Jim announced that. They're there. If you're missing them, they're there. They were outside on the sidewalk Sunday night. Somebody brought them back in. Michael chapter 6, verse number 6. Micah chapter 6, verse number 6, 7, and 8. And Micah asks some good questions here. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, calves of the year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were talking with somebody that was having trouble sleeping at night, getting rest, and my wife brought something up to her that she does. Sometimes, you know, you wake up at just for no reason. Sometimes your heart's heavy, can't sleep. Sometimes your mind's busy from the day and you can't fall asleep or whatever may happen. My wife mentioned to her what she does if that happens is she begins to count her blessings by A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And my wife told her, said, I never even get to G before the devil's not put me to sleep. I wonder, somebody got a blessing that starts with an A tonight. Brother Ray, you got one, something A? Another day. How about that one? Yesterday could have been our last day on this earth, but today we had another day to influence folks for the Lord. Another day. Thank God for the days He gives us. I'm telling you, it'd be easy to say, Lord, take me home. Paul said it. He said, I'm in a hard spot. But it was best for them that he stayed. It didn't always work out best for Paul that he stayed, I'm telling you. In jail, bruised with stones and, you know, shipwrecks, snake bites. How about a bee? Somebody got a bee? Something over here. Yeah, Brother Bill?
You got one belonging to Jesus.
Belonging to Jesus. Thank the Lord we're His possession. B. Belonging to Jesus. What a blessing it is to know with a certainty. I've got friends and family. If they laid their head down tonight and go to sleep, they wonder whether or not they're still going to be a child of God because of something they did during the day. Nothing we can do to get saved, and nothing we can do afterwards to keep us saved. It's all of God. Thank you for belonging to the Lord. Well, Jason, them bad boys you got back there, they got a C? Somebody got a C blessing. What is it, Manny?
Christ loving me.
Christ loving me. How about that? Oh, man. How old you are, Manny? 12 now? and they ain't learning about God around here. Christ loving me. It's a blessing to know that the Lord loves us, isn't it? Pastor, I thought you was going to get into Mike. I am later. Maybe next week. I would hope. What was yours, Brother Jason? C?
I have a D.
You got a D? What is it?
Delivered
from the power of sin. Wow. How about a D, Brother Johnson? See, if you can't sleep, okay, wake up. Shh, y'all are going to sleep on me. Start counting your blessings. And I'll tell you, that will make you go on to sleep. I've heard that before. My wife just mentioned that the other day. I thought, well, that is a wonderful thing. E, eternity with Jesus. What is it there, Jerry? You got one?
F.
F.
Faith.
Faith. Faith is our victory. I'm glad to have kids that are involved that can answer that. I don't think we're going to go through the whole alphabet. Maybe we'll pick up next week with the rest of it. F, you got a nail? Another day living with Jesus. Living with Jesus. That's a good thing. To live with Jesus day by day. Just a little walk with Jesus makes everything okay. What doth the Lord require of thee? That's a pretty good question there. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? Verse 6. I mean, I think about it. I've been called in to go up for jury duty. Man, life. I've been here 10 years. And I've seen it. It seems to be about 6 times in 10 years I've been called to go to jury duty. I'm like, y'all lose something. There's a bunch more people around here. Y'all never let me get all the way to court. You always dismiss me from some questions y'all ask. But I remember there was one time when we were there, and the judge was they were asking some questions, and the judge stopped them and told the bailiff, "You can go tell jury number 407. They can go home. If they show up in my courtroom like that again, dressed that way, I'm going to give them a fine." I was like, "Phew." It's a requirement. You've got to dress a certain way, to come in there. I think he had on flip-flops or something. And nobody saw it. He put his foot up on his knee and his toe was sticking up. And the judge saw that toe. Early bird gets a worm. He had requirements. The judge sent him home. He could have just fined him right there if he had wanted to, I'm supposing. I don't know. The whole pretty strict. The other day, I was went and played golf with one of those with Michael from Canada. And up there, you can just play however you want. Down here, where we played, required a button shirt and collar. And told him, "Got to go get another shirt on." Had a requirement to do that. You know, there's requirements to things, many things. To buy a car, there's some requirements. Unless you have cash to walk in there, you've got to meet certain requirements to get a loan. And so with these requirements, and we have requirements as God's children, as people of God. So how do we want to approach God? I would, to be honest with you, it'd be just to meet a 5-star general. That'd be amazing. I've met a 3-star one time, and I was a corporal at the time, and I was shaking in my boots. I said, "Lord, have mercy, don't let me do anything wrong right now." I always thought as a private they had the power just to go put me in the grave without anything going on, and I hadn't learned that yet as an E4, that there's still a process you had to go to. But I was making sure I put my boot back. I was in the field. Matter of fact, we were out in the woods. I was in my battle gear, and I remember, Brother Jim, put my toe of my boot on my calf and try to dust it off. As that three-star general was there talking to my commander. You just don't approach him any old way. I guarantee you they didn't say, hey, what was General MacArthur's first name? Douglas. Hey, Doug, how you doing? It didn't happen. Just didn't. You approached him with reverence, with respect. You know, but Micah said, how will I come before the Lord? I'm going to tell you, dear friend, if you're not saved, you just come just as you are. You come just like you are. There ain't nothing you can do to spruce up your life. He sees all through it. I mean, He does. He died for us while we were yet sinners. I mean, we can't be allowing folks to, and we can't trick folks into believing that they got to straighten up and get everything in order, get their ducks all lined in a row before they come to Jesus. They just come to Him just like they are. And just humbly approach Him and say, Lord, here am I. Just as we are, lost and hell-bound. Well, what happens after you get saved? Man, a lot of things change. We get to approach Him as Father. We get to approach Him not only Creator of all things, but Redeemer of our soul. It changes a lot. So how would you approach God, you know? Well, you first, in my mind, just before we get on down through here, he said there, he says, well, I bow myself before thy God. I mean, you come holy, humbly before Him, you know, recognizing who He is. You know, the Heavenly Father that is sovereign. He's not so far away from us either. Don't allow folks to convince you that He is not approachable and not obtainable, the throne room's not obtainable. We have free access through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. Well, that song they sung the other night, you know, about God having many children, not having to wait in line. What a blessing. What a blessing. Listen, we got a pretty decent crowd for us here on Wednesday night. And you know, not a one of y'all have to just, you know, take a number. The other day I had to take my daughters down to get some shots. And Briley Kindling went in the door and I was trying to read and see what was happening. And a lady come to me. She said, sir, what do you need? I said, well, I'm here to get some shots. But she said, go stand in that line over there. So I just went over and did like she said. Went over there and I stood in line, Brylin Kindley with me, and we're waiting. The wind is going here. I was like, this is kind of a crazy place to stand, but I did what I was told. One went up. They called a number. Another one up. I'm still standing there. Another one up. About seven went up, and finally the lady sitting behind the desk, she said, sir, do you got a number? I said, no, ma'am. I had to go get a number. I'm so thankful that when I'm needing God that, and I'm standing at the corner, I see Brother Paul approach, Brother Robert, Sister Debbie. I see Sister Myra approach. God knows they're under. Son, you got to go get a number. You know what he says? What do you need, boy? Tell me. Talk to me, son. What do you need? Just approach Him as our Father. Hallowed be thy name. He's special. He is special. God is, it's a special relationship after we're saved. We need to remind ourselves always to be in reverence and fear, a fearful type. We're not fearful that He's going to just strike us down and throw us off in a hole somewhere. Reverently understanding, like I was when that there, listen, when that general was coming and he was talking to my colonel, he was a light colonel, And my, I thought I saw my light colonel's knees knock a little bit. And I was his driver, you know, so I was standing back, and man, he's coming. They had to get something out of the Humvee. And I was like, man, what was I trying to do? Look my best, right? In the field. I mean, we were in the field. I'd been out there for 7 days already. It wasn't no dirt coming off there, but I wanted, as God's child, what do we need to do when we approach Him? We need to look like His child. Hey, we're not redheaded stepchildren. We're not second-class citizens. But, dear friend, when you're heir and joint heir to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you approach Him, you need to come looking like His child. And if you've been off doing things that you shouldn't have been done and involved in some things that you know, just like the prodigal son, you need to come back and say, listen, Lord, just make me a servant. Because you know what He wants to tell you. He wants to tell you, no, you're still my child. You're still mine. I can imagine as the prodigal son in that scenario, it doesn't tell us, but as he made up his mind and his mind changed, it was like a picture of repentance coming out of that hog pen, coming back to the Lord as he became closer. I can almost imagine, Brother Felipe, that he maybe passed by a garbage pile, and there was a old robe that looked just a little bit better than his, and he changed it, trying to look his best. When he got there, whatever he had on, still wasn't good enough, was it? His father had the best. So as you approach him, understand something, dear friend. You're going to approach him humbly. You're going to remember that he is God. And we are his children. And just because we're his children does not remove any of his sovereignty. He is a sovereign God. I mean, he's so sovereign, dear friend, that the oceans go only as far as he has told them to go. The oceans have that distance. I mean, he is powerful. So you approach him humbly. I mean, these are good questions. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? And over in Psalms, what he said, a broken and contrite heart. Even after we're saved, dear friend, listen, what we have in our possessions that we can actually offer to Him, He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. What you could give Him, it's not going to make your position in Christ any better. Your position is settled in Christ. Okay? What you are in Christ, that is what you are. When He looks at us, dear friend, He looks at us through Christ. So while we are in Christ, the terminology, in Christ. So we approach the throne, He looks at us as in Christ. It says, given the, you know, a thousand rams and 10,000 rivers of oil. Listen, when it comes to offering times and things of that nature, we're living in a strange, strange day and age. Brother Jim, I've been thinking and pondering this. A lot of churches now have kiosks they put out there. You've got, because nobody carries cash anymore. They're trying to get us away from a cashless society so they can control us a lot more. But they got these kiosks. I begin to think, what's going to happen? Brother Lee, you're going to have to get the ushers some smartphones with a little square so you can start sliding a card. And I thought, Brother Jim, you're going to have to get 7 songs. Oh, sorry, that's declined. Can you imagine that church? What are you going to tell the person? You know, we're in a strange age. But listen, all that riches and all that you have to offer the Lord, it didn't impress the Lord when He was on His earthly ministry. Those rich guys and rich ladies and rich families brought their all they had in their abundance. And here come that little widow with 2 little mites. And he perked up, said she's given her all. So it's not what we give. Why is it not the amount and the things? Surely, if we were to bring in here everything we had and just offer it to Him and say, Lord, here's my offer, it's already His. Everything that you have is God's. He has lent it to you. You're now His steward of His things. We have a God that has kept the universe moving. Why do we get all wiped out and worried thinking God can't handle our little world? Because this is why, I'm telling you, I have shrunk my God down into my world. We ain't that important, dear friend. We're really not. We're not. We're not all that important. So we can't shrink God down into our world. Because when we shrink Him into our world, then we become God. We've made God near, small, little. Oh, therefore He can't handle the big problems. But if we leave God in His proper place, let me back up a minute. We haven't moved Him. In our mind, we've shrunk Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we get to focusing on the problems, and our problems overtake Him and overtake us. It is an amazing thing. Remember the story I told y'all? I read this illustration some years ago, probably well before I came here. I remember using it at another church. There was a little boy that had caught a little raven bird and put it in a little box. Some of you may have read this illustration. Had a little cage, and he was shaking the cage around here, and he was poking a stick in the cage and being all cruel to the little bird. And there was a businessman passed by, and he said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm just going to play around with this bird, and then I'm going to take it down the road here, and I'm going to put it out of its misery." He said, "Son, why you want to do that?" He says, "Good for nothing. Just a little raven bird, just eats garbage, flops around, and you know, and the smelly stuff." And the businessman pulled out some money and handed it to him and said, "I'll buy that bird from you." He said, "You'll buy this old scrounging looking thing? It got feathers missing, sir. See, I'll buy it from you." Said, "Well, you're that crazy." Imagine when Satan was barking, you know, there had us on the block. "God, you're going to give your only begotten son for that?" God said, "Yeah." Yeah. And so he bought it. He took the bird down the road. He opened it up out of the cage and set the bird free. Let it go. That's how we were. Just old scrounged little black bird, full of sin and feathers missing, back and forth. Jesus saved our soul, made us part of His family. The Bible's such a wonderful terminology that He grafted us in. I mean, he cut us into the family. Just peeled back the family, stuck us in there. And there we are, grafted into the family of God because of Christ. So how are we going to approach Him? You're going to approach Him just like you are, His child, in need. You think God don't know where your problems are, what lies ahead of you, and what you done went through in the past? Sure He does. Sure He does. Well, what are we going to do about it? Right there, what is required? What's required? Justly. We're just going to do just. We're just going to do justly. We're going to love mercy, and we're going to walk humbly with God. That's what we're going to do. So listen, before we got saved, we was absolutely nothing without Christ. After we got saved, the only thing good in us is Christ. And that which shows out of us is the goodness of God while we're saved. So we better keep walking with God. Because when we walk without God, we're not doing justly, and we're not loving mercy. Because listen, I'm telling you, there's times and times that, again, I needed mercy. Lord, have mercy. I mean, there was times I needed just cups and cups and cups of God's mercy. A little drop wasn't going to do it. And he was always, listen, his mercy faileth not. Faileth not. So keep your mind in perspective. After you're saved, all that you can give him, it's his. So you're not going to change your position. Understand something though, dear friend. He's given you what you have to be used for his honor, his glory, his pleasure. So use it that way, doing justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with thy God. It's not that you know the requirement, dear friend. It's not enough to just know the requirement. We've got to live the requirement. We've got to live a just life. Because we have a just God. And a just God, in his lovingness, and kind, his character of love, he always, always punishes those he loves when they do wrong. He calls it chastising them. So that's our Father. He always blesses those who do right. He always. He doesn't take Brother Paul's blessing and say, well, old Lane was a stinking rascal today. But Brother Paul, he did great today. I mean, he loved folks and passed out a couple of tracts, told people he prayed with somebody. Let me take some of his blessings and give them over to Lane. That's how God works. Not how he works at all. The devil would have us believe that. So, matter of fact, if you go look at the talents of the five, the three, and the one, the one who hid his had it taken away and given to the one who had more. A little bit different than what society wants us to believe. Walk humbly. What's required? Just do justly. Love mercy. Why would I love mercy? He did me wrong. She did me wrong. We all did God wrong. And he poured mercy out on us. Why do I want to walk humbly with the Lord? Because the Bible says, he that humbleth himself, the Lord will exalt. And I'm just going to tell you that I have fallen off a high hill, a high pedestal that I put myself on, and it's a hard fall. The way of a transgressor is hard. It's hard. When the Lord puts you up there and he holds you in his hands and he keeps you there and you're walking humbly with him, dear friend, listen, the sky's the limit. He'll take your life and use you in such a bountiful way. And it says, life more abundant. John 10:10, he'll use you in a bountiful way. And that's how he wants to use you. He said, I've chosen you that you'll go forth and bring fruit. No, much. Much fruit. Much fruit. Let's stand to our feet. That's what's required. Micah was questioning, asking, and the Lord gave him the answer right there. And that's the same requirements as us. Come on, Brother Jim. Let's sing a song, whatever you got picked out tonight. Remember, bus riders, when we're finished here singing, come on down quickly so we can get you home and get you ready for school tomorrow.
141, cleanse me, 141.
Oh,
Christ. Just miss us in prayer, please.
Lord, we do pray that.